Tahir, you were inside with the men now. It's about 9 o'clock in the evening. Could you just tell us what's gone on today and let us know how the situation is?
First of all, the representative of the hunger strikers, he gave his statement in there about their discussions with the UN people, UN representative who was in here for the last 3 hours. They were in discussion with each other, and what he pointed out is that the question that he put to the United Nations representative, 90% of those questions were not answered, and moreover he told the media that that whatever we are asking for life, that this strike is that we want to live, but the UN representative wants to talk to us about to give up the strike. But our point is that what has the United Nations representative or the government authorities brought for us, a life or nothing? And on the top of that, moreover, he clarified one thing that the media, we never said to anyone that the media is not allowed in here to come into the church. Probably it wasn't in front of the media, but he was saying when I asked him personally that what was the reason, and he said that maybe that the authorities or the church authorities or anyone, I can't say exactly what they mean by this, but they don't, maybe they don't want us to be on the media to, or using the delaying tactics to test the strength of our hunger strike. That could be the reason. And when we came to know that the media is not allowed to see us, we came by ourselves, and some of the lads waiting outside for us, and was decided to tell them that the media is all 24 hours allowed, 7 days a week, to come in and to have whatever they want to ask, or that if they have any curiosity.
Okay.
The Taoiseach Bertie Ahern and the Minister for Justice Michael McDowell are still maintaining that the asylum system is fair and that the men haven't fully gone through the full system. What would you say back to those?
I might be not right, but I so far that I know of the system, that the so many lads who are outside as a support for them are saying one thing, that we were in the same country, many of them from the same provinces and from the same regions, and almost if the case is 100% were not exactly the same, but like many of the problem was the same from the same organizations. So we were given the asylum status over in this country, but why they were not given the asylum status? Yeah. That is the point. And the second one, that even the representative of the hunger strikers point out, that we have some problems with the, not exactly with the system that has been defined by the United Nations or any, or by the government, but the things that the way that the interpreters and the translation that is outsourced to the private companies, we face the problems on their behalf. We were not given the opportunity on, because of the non-qualified interpreters and translator, to present our case in a better way. To have a problem is certainly such a different thing, but to give a story to tell to someone, need to have a skill. We are not professionals, but our story was not presented in the way that it was supposed to be. And on the top of that, that we had some problem, that most of the guys are waiting for the last 2 years for their decisions and some for the interviews. So in the 2 years, one of the Chakri Sultan was pointing out that I'm undergoing through psychological problems like hypertension and depression, and I have the evidence from the doctors as well that I'm under their treatment for that. And many of the lads are in the same situation as well.
What would you say to Michael McDowell, some of his sort of statements regarding to when the hunger strike first started? He used language such as he's not in the business of doing bulk cases, as he is the Minister for Equality as well as for Justice and Law Reform. What would you say back to the type of language that has been used both by the media and Michael McDowell and the government himself, referring to this hunger strike as a business, as referring to people as a business? What would you say back to that?
My personal point of view is that if it is a business, if somebody wants to bargain for a life, if they say that it is a business, it is a good business. To tell someone that we want to bargain for our life, to live, and if they want to deport few of, they say that we won't let any of the guys to stay in the, over in this country or any, it's not about about Irish government to stay in Ireland, in many of the other countries as well. And on the top of that, I think so that the nation, Afghan nation, was used over in, when they were used against the Russians, they put the money, the white money, in over there with the white powder, and most of now they're represented using them as a terrorist as well, because the same people served them over in Afghanistan, and now when they were used, and once you are in one circle, it's very difficult to get out of that circle. That is very important thing to be pondered. I mean, if the same, the way like the sectarian problems, if somebody somewhere starts, so people are used to that, and that becomes a profession. They, how can they merge into a society that when they are in war, they were born in war, majority of the nation for the last 25 years are in war, so they know nothing. You don't give them opportunity like to live. That is the minimum requirement of theirs, just to let them live. Humanitarian. The laws, the systems are being devised by the human and for the human beings, and can be changed as well for the betterment of the humans.
There was a priest here yesterday, and he came out after visiting men, and he said it was absolutely appalling what the state was allowing to happen here, and MacDougall especially, and if MacDougall calls himself a Christian, that he can't allow this to happen. But in saying that, though, a lot of this situation has caused, I suppose, a division in Irish society. It seems a lot of the Irish public are against the men and want them out and want them sent home. Even on the streets here, you have young kids from the areas chanting, deport them all, get foreigners out. It really is bringing, I think, a racism that is there to the surface. What would be your views on that?
For me, for the nations or the individual who has not seen wars, or if they have not suffered, the biggest suffering is when you are out of, unwillingly, when you are pushed out of your country, when you are longing for your country, in the country that you are born. I'll take their statements and their point of view as ethnocentrism. They are not aware. They are not aware of the sinews of war and the after effects, that how the nation suffers, how the human beings, when they are in warfare and use, especially, I'm always using the word use, that the Afghans were used against the powers, big powers, and are still in use. Whether that was against the Soviets or in the faction wars by the few of the neighboring countries, or no, they haven't seen wars. And I hope so, if those Irish who fighted for their cause, for their country, for their kids, if they were alive, they would have said, let them live over in this country.
It's quite ironic, because it's only 10, 20 years ago when what we're hearing in the streets, that's the stories that you heard, that's what you get from England especially, where you're hearing that the Irish people that went over were getting continual harassment, with people saying, oh, get the paddies out, get the Irish out of the country, they're nothing but terrorists, they're nothing but troublemakers, get them out. And there was attempts to try to push the Irish out of Britain. Now the story has changed very quickly, and it's now the Irish who are saying that about the immigrants that are coming to their homeland. So it's amazing how quickly the Irish people have forgot their own history, being forced, millions and millions having had to leave the country.
Yesterday evening, one of the lads was chanting some slogans against the strikers, and one of the guy who's from Afghanistan, he asked one thing, that for about a month back, when the Irish were asking for immigration over in America, when the Bertie Ahern, the Taoiseach, went to America for their cause, they don't have the leader, that's why they are in this country. They have never been looked after by the elders. So history repeats itself, and if you do something, if someone does something bad, it might repeat to him as well.
And in terms of the UN, is there some sort of system whereby a value of how dangerous or a level of grade of how dangerous a country is that the states aren't allowed to send people back to those countries if they are at a certain level? And if that is the case, does Afghanistan fall into this category?
Just wondering one thing, that why the media has its positive impact as well as negative impact, but the way that these this time over in Afghanistan, the way that the media has been used by a few powerful countries, that is a negative media, yellow journalism, I'll say. Why still from the neighboring, even from the neighboring on the border, people are going over for the suicide attacks? It's not safe. The Taliban was just a phenomena. I was looking into some of the presentations by one of the historians, that the first Talibanism was introduced, that was in 1867. It was a phenomena, and it lived. You can't give up with this thing until and unless the people are provided with the basic needs, or at least to let them live peacefully, not to be used for their own cause, for the interest of the great powers.
And to finish up,